Welcome to Food Talk. I'm Kristen.
And I'm Teresa, and we're talking with the people who are growing, raising, harvesting, and producing food here in our bountiful coastal region.
And also to those who are selling, cooking, serving, and eating the freshest food available in our communities.
Join us today in a conversation about what's in season right now here on the North Coast.
Today we are talking with Zeddy Nemlowill, Ali Evans, and Mickey Alasouza about the children's event that will be happening on April 21st at the Astoria Co-op. Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, everyone, for coming.
So we always like to ask our guests, how did you end up here on the North Coast, or have you always been here? And maybe we can start with Ali.
Sure, mine's easy. I did not grow up here. I grew up in New England in a town very similar to here, north of Boston, and slowly migrated west through schooling. Ended up in Portland at naturopathic medical school, and then met my husband, who is a surfing dentist and was coming to the coast to set up shop.
A surfing dentist. Okay.
So the rest was history. He finished school before I did and said, I'm going to go to the coast and set up shop. You coming? So I came here, and we moved here in 2004 and have been here ever since.
Now, and you weren't in Astoria when you first arrived. You were...
We lived between Seaside and Astoria in the Sunset Beach area, and just moved into town 3 years ago.
And you're a naturopathic physician?
I'm a naturopathic physician.
Oh, that's so great.
And a mom. And a board member at the co-op. So okay. I wear a few hats in this conversation.
And it sounds like you'll wear all of them for this conversation,
yes, exactly.
Right?
Yes, exactly.
Okay, and then Mickey?
I'm originally from Honolulu, Hawaii, and I went to college in Eugene at U of O and then lived in Portland for about 5 years, and I'm coming up on about 3 years in Astoria.
It is so great to have you here.
Thanks.
And Mickey, where do you work and what do you do?
I work at the Clatsop County OSU Extension Office, and I teach gardening and nutrition lessons to elementary school kids.
And wearing your other hat, what do you do?
I also just became a board member for the North Coast Food Web this week.
And then aren't you also an artist?
And I've also been doing a lot of printmaking and painting and drawing. And
so it sounds like maybe you'll wear all your hats for this conversation too.
Yes.
And I know, Zeddy, you wear a lot of hats too, so tell us about yourself.
Yeah, I'm a native-born Astorian. I also went to University of Oregon. I majored in journalism, worked in television news, found my way back home to Astoria. I actually worked in radio news here in this studio for a time. My husband is one of the owners of Fort George. I'm outreach director of the co-op now. So our lives really revolve around consumption of good food and drink, if you can imagine that. Anyway, I'm here, as a mom with experiences of trying to, you know, feed her kids the best that I can. I have some successes. But if you've ever tried to feed kids healthy food, you know that you're probably not always going to have successes, just some of the time.
Hey, so I'm really curious. Both Zeddy, you and Ali have kids, and just how old are they?
My kids, I have a daughter who's 6, going on about 17 or 18. And I have a son who's 4.5.
Oh, quite great.
Yeah. I have a daughter who's 1, a son who's 3, and a daughter who is 5.
Wow, you are both busy moms. Okay.
Yes. But that's actually a really great age for kids to be exposed to food, but it also seems to be an age when they're really picky about, they can be really picky about what they eat. In my experience as an auntie and not a mom, but yes. I've definitely seen the whole spectrum of the kids who will only eat white food and kids who won't eat fruit or veg, or they'll only eat a certain veg, or they won't eat meat, or they will only eat meat. And
right. Are the kids that only eat food in nugget form?
Yeah, I know. Fried food, things that are breaded. I know. It's interesting. It's really interesting and such a huge challenge. So tell us about this. So you're starting an event at the co-op, but you've started a number of things at the co-op trying to encourage better eating with kids. And tell us a little bit about that. Maybe Zeddy, do you want to start, or Ali?
Just to tell you about this event that we're planning, it's a Sunday afternoon, April 21st, from 3 to 4 in the afternoon. It should be a really casual, fun event for families to come to. Mickey's going to be doing some seed planting of veggie starts outside, so everybody will have something that they can take home with them and hopefully see how food starts. And then inside, we'll have some wonderful, healthy snacks for kids to try, and also an art project that Allie is planning that hopefully she can tell you about a little bit more later. This is something kind of new in the evolution of the co-op and its nearly 40-year history in Astoria. Outreach in general, outreach to families, you know, we're seeing a lot more families come in. I personally really got more interested in natural food when I started realizing that it was more than about me, you know, when I was pregnant and I was taking in foods that were going to be going to a baby. I started shopping at the co-op a whole lot more and investing more in natural food.
So what are you finding that kids really love to eat between your families? I mean, are you having troubles getting them to eat vegetables?
I think, you know, what Teresa was saying, that this age is so informative and it's such this age of kids forming their tastes. I think it's challenging on both sides. I think, I know for me, and Zeddy, you probably would agree, it's this time where you know you have this seed that you're forming, but at the same time, this seed has its own thoughts and its own desires. And mm-hmm. I know from my standpoint, it's a ton of pressure too, especially as a mom, when you feel like these are your values and this is what's good for the environment and this is what's good for raising your healthy brain and your healthy body. And your kids just, they have a will of their own. And so I think finding that sweet spot between honoring their autonomy and honoring their tastes and their experience with food, and then also leading by example. So yes. Not just you need to eat this, but mom's going to have a cup of coffee for breakfast. You
know? Yeah, right.
Which we're all guilty of at times. But I think for me, it's just been this really big learning curve of finding foods that they'll eat, and sometimes in a sneaky way, but mostly just putting the good food out there and exposing them to it. So there are many nights a week where I will make dinner and I know that either I'm going to make a big stir fry and I'm going to have to decompose it for the kids. Yeah. Like, here's carrots that I know you'll eat, and maybe you won't touch the bok choy, and you'll probably go with the chicken. But it's always this balance between just put it all out there, and even if it takes them 45 times of seeing the same food, like, I am convinced that my daughter, maybe within the next 5 years, will actually eat quinoa. She will, like, she sees it on her plate multiple times in a given month. She's like, again, you know? So I think it's just the idea of this exposure, which I'm so happy the co-op is starting to branch into this, because it's the more kids see it, and like Mickey will probably say as well, the more kids get their hands in the dirt, right, and see the vegetables and see the fruits, they will form a relationship with it. We just can't push it. We just need to sort of have that patience of repetition and exposure and leading by example.
Do you find that if you're pushing foods as like, this is good for you, then maybe it's not as appealing, but if it's about this tastes good? Because I know Mickey, I've been with Mickey in there's an event that happened in the fall, I think, in we were down at the Cannon Beach Elementary School, the Food Day, which is a program where sort of setting up a farmer's market stand in the school and exposing kids to like fresh fruits and vegetables, and there was stuff to taste. And it was interesting seeing their reaction to certain things. They got super excited about a lot of the vegetables and seemed open. But I mean, because you're out in the schools, you're doing gardening, you're, you know, exposing kids to fresh fruits and veg. What's their reaction to it in that context?
Well, they're really excited about the new foods. And it's kind of the same thing as Allie was saying. You know, so the school year is almost over, but so far this year they've seen kale a few times. And, you know, maybe the first time it was a little bit scary, but as we learn more about it and they talk more about it and they taste it a few more times, they've gotten really excited about it. And it's the same thing with beets and squash, you know, some things that maybe they have never had. And the first time it was a little even scary for them. But, you know, after the second time or the third time, they were saying things like, can you write down the name of this variety of squash so my mom can buy it? And, you know, I'm not too sure about, you know, butternut squash, but I really like the kabocha squash, you know. And, you know, so they're really getting into it.
Well, and one thing I've noticed is that you know, my own experience out there in the schools too, is kids don't often recognize a whole food, and that is something I know you're really working on. When you take squash in, you have kind of a petting zoo of all these different squash so that kids can touch and they can hold and kind of actually start a relationship with the food that maybe they've never seen it in that form before, which, well, it's really true, though. I mean, I think there's something really to that.
That's such a great way of looking at it.
It is. And then they're familiar with what it looks like when they go to the store. But, mm-hmm. I mean, I think it is so interesting because we are so removed from our food mm-hmm. so often in our culture anymore. So,
yeah, what it looks like when it's just whole or straight out of the ground or fresh off the plant. As opposed to, like, if your veg only comes, like, chopped up in little bags already, chopped up, you don't know what a bell pepper looks like in its whole form. You only see it ever little pieces of green or red in a dish.
Well, that's I had a really interesting experience a couple of years ago when I was teaching actually it was the entire eighth grade at a point in time in one of the local schools, and there were about 175 kids all towed, and I did this thing called Stump the Chump, you know, and it was an array of fruits and vegetables, about 15 of them with at the top end like fennel, you know, which I thought would be really hard, and at the low end maybe a head of lettuce and radishes and cherry tomatoes, and in between avocados and, you know, some other interesting things. And what was so interesting to me was that I thought they'd get a lot of things, but they would have a hard time with that fennel, you know. And only 11 out of the 175 figured out they got the radishes right, a bunch of radishes. They thought a lot of kids marked them as cherry tomatoes, so the color was right, but they hadn't actually. And it made me realize that this food literacy idea is really relevant, because we just never see our food. Even a head of lettuce is very, very unique, I think, because we always see it in a bag, right? It's all torn up.
And I think if it's easy to talk about it in the context of children, but it's probably the same for a huge portion of adults as well. And if we, mm-hmm. as adults, can kind of go on that adventure with the kids, whether we're parents, grandparents, aunts, friends, of like, let's just let our kids put one new produce item in the cart, even if we don't know what to do with it. Or let's let
them. When you can discover it together.
Yeah, exactly. Like, if we kind of have this openness to discover it and allow the kids to go through this process, we all benefit as well. You know, we learn that it's a radish and not a cherry tomato.
Right. Yeah. No, seriously.
Yeah.
Well, you teach kids not to be afraid of tasting new things.
That's right.
Which is a hard thing, too. You can often convince yourself that you hate things or that you don't like something and you've never tasted it, but you just know. And I remember doing this as a child too. I remember being convinced that I didn't like strawberries, and I'm devastated now when I think about all the amazing strawberries that I missed as a child, being convinced that I didn't. And I don't know why I didn't like, thought I wouldn't like strawberries, but they were scary to me. And so, you know, and now I know better.
And we talk about exercising the taste buds. Like, with my kids, I'm always like, you just need to try one bite to exercise your taste buds. So I think my kids think they're superheroes on their tongue, like these strong taste buds that they're going to work.
I think texture always kind of comes into play. Some kids have a stronger sense of texture of what they like and what they don't like, and it's an interesting kind of thought too. It's not always just the taste, and sometimes it's the color. So mm-hmm. it's really all of our senses that are involved. Well, we are already halfway through our show, and I just am going to take a little break. You are listening to Coast Community Radio, KMUN 91.9 FM, and streaming live at coastradio.org. And if you are just joining us, we are talking with Zeddy Nemlowill, Allie Evans, and Mickey Alasouza about the very cool children's event that's coming up April 21st at the Co-op.
And you've started another program at the Co-op, Zeddy and Allie. Maybe you can talk about it, where it's another way of exposing kids to fresh fruit and veg. And maybe tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, thanks a lot for asking about that. Our wonderful produce manager, Kelly, actually had this idea at a conference she went to with other co-ops. But anyway, when kids come to the co-op now, you know, they've got a choice of A, B, or C, an apple, banana, or a carrot. And we've got a basket right there at kid level in the produce department. And kids may choose either one of those for free anytime they come in the store. We look at it as a good investment in our future.
And how? What's the response been? Are you finding kids being resistant to it or excited? Or
well, you know, it's amazing. Really, I think the fact that this is a little basket of food that's just for them. They might be taking a piece of raw food and eating it right then and there. More so than usual. You know, I mean, I saw that with my kids the other day, and they probably would have wanted to eat some bunny crackers, you know, or something if they would have had the choice. But instead they were sitting in the deli area eating a banana and apple while I shopped. So it was lovely. We saw some kids come in the other day who'd been riding in the car for a long time. They were really fussy, and, you know, that did the trick. They just needed a little bit of fruit to recharge.
And so is this kids 0 to 18? Is
you know,
it
there
defined?
Is no age limit, actually. So, you know, I suppose, you know, even an adult who thought he or she was a kid, you know,
a few of those
young at heart,
they could have one too. But really, it's, you know, it's for children. And so far, everybody has honored the system very well.
It's wonderful. And are you finding kids make a beeline when they come in then?
People are just starting to find out about it, actually. Okay. And so, you know, we're kind of hoping that word of mouth and also this event that we're having, you know, will help promote that ABC club that we've got going on. It's really fun to see people finding out about it, for sure. They're kind of surprised when they find that there's an offering just for them.
I think along that lines, like, the idea of, and I see this with my kids in the kitchen, if they help prepare food, they're a lot more likely to try it. I'm not going to say like it yet, but at least try it and be excited about it. And that same idea, like having that basket at eye level, I was surprised that even my kids, who we go in the co-op all the time and they get to pick whatever they want in the produce section for a snack, they were so excited that it was their special little thing. And I was surprised that they'd be excited over an apple or a banana.
That is so great.
But it's the same idea like you, Mickey, could talk about too. Like, or Teresa, when you get your hands in and you're seeing a crop grow, mm-hmm. or you're seeing kind of the process, and it's at your level, at the kids' level, they're just so much more apt to resonate with that, I think.
So at this event, you're going to do some planting. Is that right?
Yep. We're going to plant seeds, probably snap peas.
Uh-huh.
And all the kids are going to be able to take their seed plantings home and watch them grow and take care of them and hopefully replant them at home and maybe even harvest some peas off of them eventually.
And so are you going to have examples of them already grown? Or
yes. Yeah, so there are some plant starts there, some 46 North plant starts. Hopefully I can bring some of those over as an example of what they'll look like. He was a little bit older, and we're going to hopefully have some samples of snap peas for the kids to sample what they'll taste
great.
Like. Yeah,
that seems like a veg that I know a lot of kids like. There's a sweetness there and a crunchiness that's kind of fun.
And it's so fun to open it up, and you have all those little things inside.
Yeah. And we're going to make a batch of Green Goddess dressing too, which is one of my favorite ways to get vegetables in kids, because they will, I usually fill it with whatever greens I have in the house, just piles of greens. And mm-hmm. if you mix it with enough mayonnaise or yogurt, you know, the kids unknowingly are taking in all these green vegetables, and it's a dip and it's fun. And then they eat vegetables with the vegetables to dip in it. So that's one of my favorite, sort of throw everything in the refrigerator into a dip.
You know, and that's one of those things that seems like it was really popular like 20 years ago, and it's kind of had its own resurgence. I mean, it's exciting to see.
Yes.
Well, that, you know, that brings me to the question that we often talk about in this part of our show, is we ask people about recipes and what do they like to cook and what are they making right now. And I thought it'd be kind of cool, Dina, for all of you to maybe talk a little bit about, what do you cook for kids? What are your kids like? Do you have successes? Do you have disasters? And how do you deal with that? You know, that whole experience of what do kids eat and what are you finding success with on the healthy spectrum? Not always the bunny crackers.
You know, honestly, it changes so much. We were talking about this a little bit before the show, but my mishap with granola yesterday morning, you know, I got up early in the morning and I made homemade granola. I had organic strawberries and raspberries and Greek honey yogurt to go with it. And I thought the kids would love it, and they didn't eat it hardly at all. There were a couple bowlfuls of uneaten food, and, you know, it felt bad. But the reason that I made it is, you know, in the past, they have really liked homemade granola. So it constantly changes. It's a moving target. But that had been one, you know, thing that I really liked making for mm-hmm. the kids. And I will probably do that again. But it's so simple just to take some oats, some seeds or nuts if you have them, some kind of oil or fat. I used coconut oil in this case. I've used butter. I've used olive oil, you know, any kind of good, healthy oil, some kind of sweetener. Maple syrup is my current favorite to mm-hmm. use in homemade granola. Coconut flakes, you know, the sky is the limit. Just spread it on a baking sheet in a not too hot of an oven, about 325, and then every 10 or 15 minutes, give it a little stir. Within an hour, you should have some beautiful golden brown homemade granola, and it makes the house smell so good, and it's delicious. It's almost like eating a homemade cookie or something, but it's breakfast.
That sounds great. That
sounds so good.
How about you, Allie? You have something?
Well, we have, and I think this is common in our society and kind of with modern health, but we've got a gluten-free, dairy-free, cashew-free, I could go on, kitchen.
Right, right.
So fortunately, I really like to cook, and I've just had to be real creative with kind of working around our food sensitivities. And I will say that probably my son, I could just give him spoonfuls of nutritional yeast and he'd be a happy boy.
That's so great.
My daughter is a little more tricky. I find, you know, and I could go, I have horror stories over. I was telling Zeddy earlier about the recipe literally was like the happy peachy millet muffins. And my kids were like, these are disgusting. And I was making them. I was happy. I'm like, they're going to love it. It's a new recipe. For me, you know, I try to, in a given week, I try to balance a couple things I know are going to be surefire things. Like, they will definitely eat at least one of the things I'm going to put on the plate. And then maybe one or two new recipes that I think my husband and I will like, and maybe the kids will like. Or if not, it'll just make those superhero taste buds a little bit stronger. But one of my favorite easy recipes that I do with my kids is I make oatmeal applesauce pancakes. Ooh. And it is as easy as... The basic ratio is 1 cup of oats, 1 egg, and 1/2 cup of applesauce.
Wow.
That in a blender, and it makes a batter.
Huh.
And then to it, I usually embellish, like I add a little bit of vanilla and maybe a pinch of salt, maybe some cinnamon and nutmeg. But it makes, and you can thin it with a little bit of rice milk or soy milk or cow's milk. But it makes a delicious apple saucy oatmeal pancake. And now my kids won't do anything else. They just want those pancakes, but they're delicious.
So it's just on, you just do it on the griddle?
Just do it on the griddle like a regular pancake.
And just in the blender for just until it's like a smooth batter?
Until it's a smooth texture. And that if you do 1 cup of oats, 1 egg, 1/2 cup of applesauce, makes like maybe 5 to 6 pancakes. So usually I double or triple it, depending. Mm-hmm. But easy.
Wow, that sounds
great. And then just on the griddle.
Great, gluten-free, delicious.
Whoa.
Yeah, and just on the griddle.
That sounds really amazing.
It does sound really, really good.
Yeah, so we often do dinner or breakfast for dinner
uh-huh.
because of that. Yeah. That's kind of my fallback.
I could see that. It's very comforting. Yeah. Very comforting.
So, Mickey, how about you out in the schools? I know you've tried a lot of different things, and you've worked with so many kids.
Yeah, so one thing that really stands out for me when cooking with kids is that they love to help. So lately we've been doing a lot of salads and even smoothies, and I kind of bring in all the ingredients and show them, you know, what the fruit or vegetable looks like in its whole food state, you know, before it's been cut up or changed. And then, I'll have it, cut up, and they will add it to a bowl or into the blender, and they'll put all the ingredients in themselves and measure it out, and they love it. And, you know, they're really excited to taste it, even if it's something that they've never had before, because they've helped.
Well, and you're working with first through third graders, right?
Yeah, and kindergartners, too.
Yeah. And so I know there's one smoothie recipe where you can pack in lots of spinach. I don't know if you've tried that one, the Popeye Power smoothie.
I haven't tried that one, actually.
Tell us about it.
I just like that one. It's bright green, and it's just so
pretty.
And kids
don't freak out at that?
No, actually, I think they love the color. I think they really love the color. It's like so much fun, but a smoothie is actually a great way to put in all those leafy greens that they might not eat on their own. I mean, it's kind of like the Green Goddess
exactly,
thing, right?
Yeah.
Same idea,
yeah.
Same
so
color.
So what's in the Popeye special? Is this what you call it?
Popeye Power Smoothie, I believe it's called. And it has spinach, and it has... you can use any type of juice. I know that it's been made with pineapple and orange juice before, and yogurt, or you could use rice milk or almond milk. And then you put in lots of spinach, and it just blended up, and it's delicious.
I just started making green smoothies. Ooh. I wasn't a terrible fan of them myself, but I looked at some kid-friendly recipes, and now my baby loves them, which is really cool. My other kids are kind of scared away by the color, but at least the baby's drinking it out of her sippy
really?
Cup. And, it's spinach, apple juice, pear, and banana, and it's
yes,
just such a great
nice.
Combo. Oh, and I add a bunch of ice in there, so it's a really good texture.
Yeah.
Have your older kids tried it, or
they won't
go near it?
No, not yet. They ask for red smoothies.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I know it was interesting when our kids were little that we've always noticed that our youngest one, we were like super on top of it parents, right? We're so worried about him having any sugar. And so the first taste was vegetables, right? And even to this day, he doesn't have much of a sweet tooth. Second one, fruit first. Oh, no, it's been downhill ever since. I mean, he's got a terrible sweet tooth. And, you know, occasionally gives us a little, like, you know, it was you. Yeah, it was us. That's right. But I don't know. Do you see that in your practice?
Well, one of the things that I always think, especially with babies and with teaching kids flavors, like, I was just never afraid of saute it with olive oil and garlic and salt and pepper. You know, why do we have to just steam the broccoli and right. put it in a mashed mm-hmm. puree? You know, you like the parents take a bite and they're like, oh,
disgusting.
And then like smiling, hand it to the kids.
Yeah.
And the kids are like, so I think, you know, I think the idea of don't be afraid, like don't be afraid of flavors and spices and even a little bit of spicy things. Like, I think there's just, we have these rules for ourselves. Like, kids need only to taste this and not too spicy and kind of bland and kind of plain. And I think at times it's very true. And there's a, you know, it's based on the kid's physiology and the physiology of taste and digestion. But at the same time, you plant those seeds early. Like, you know, you give them those spices, you give them those experiences, and you just, you know, let them kind of develop their own tastes. But yes, I do think that at times, you know, if it wants to be a rose, it's going to be a rose, not an orchid. You know, it's like sometimes they just have those sweet tooth or, you know, those tastes.
Well, can we do just a little recap of the program? We've got just a few minutes left. If people want to know a little bit more about the event that's coming up and where they can contact you or find out more information.
Yes, and I've already learned so many things just from planning the event with Ali and Mickey. Thank you so much for being involved in this, guys. Recipes I want to take home and try out on my kids. We're going to have all that information available, too. So you'll get Ali's Green Goddess dressing recipe, and you'll get to taste it with your kids there at the event. It's Sunday, April 21st, 3 to 4 in the afternoon. You don't have to be there from 3 to 4. Just drop in anytime. Come do some planting outside with Mickey. Sample some foods. Take home some information. Allie will be there. She is just a wealth of expertise in her own private life and her practice mm-hmm. as well. So,
and this is happening at the Astoria
at
Co-op.
At the Astoria
and
Co-op.
The address are
1355 Exchange Street.
Okay, great.
Okay, well, we've managed to go through almost our entire show. You guys are an awesome team.
Yeah,
let's do
thanks.
Another one.
We're looking forward to it. I want to remind everyone that coming up on April 20th, there are two more Meet Your Farmer events, one taking place in Cannon Beach at the Cannon Beach Community Center and one in Grays River, Washington at the Grays River Grange. Those are both from 2 to 4 in the afternoon, so come on out and meet your farmer. Meet the people who are growing and producing food locally for you. And I want to thank our engineer, Mark Albrecht, and Luke and Katie for our theme song.
And thank you all for joining us on today's Food Talk, fresh conversations about local food on the North Coast. And this show will be available as a podcast at coastradio.org.